I'm so excited, Carolyn Mace, in case you are like me and have not known about this incredible woman. She is the author of the New York Times best-selling books, Invisible Acts of Power, Sacred Contracts, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can, An Anatomy of the Spirit, and is a pioneer and international lecturer in the fields of energy medicine and human consciousness. For 20 years, she worked as a medical intuitive, one who sees illness in a patient's body by intuitive means, and specialized in helping people understand emotional, psychological, and physical reasons why their bodies develop illness. In 2003, she founded the CMed Institute, an educational program that specializes in intensive classes on archetypes, personal power, mysticism, and sacred contracts. She appeared in two highly successful television programs, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can, and Three Levels of Power and How to Use Them. Carolyn Mace also appeared several times on Oprah and on other major national media programs. Raised a Catholic, Carolyn Mace attended Mother Guerin High School, graduated from St. Mary of the Woods College in Indiana, and received a master's degree in theology from Mundelein College. She lives in Chicago. And Entering the Castle, I just found out, we all found out last night with great joy, has now hit the bestseller list. Carolyn, welcome this morning to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you.
So this book, Entering the Castle.
I'm not sure if I'm on the radio or at Bag End.
Perhaps a little of both. Welcome to Middle Earth here at KUCI. Could you please tell us a little bit about this book of yours, Entering the Castle, and your special relationship with Teresa of Avila?
Well, the book Entering the Castle is based on my observation that today there is a new calling in the world, and that calling is that a contemporary form of mysticism has emerged in our society, and that is mystics, the lay mystic, the mystic out of a monastery, and that that mystic, the classic patterns of the mystic that carved people like Teresa of Avila or Francis of Assisi, of course, they were mystics in the extreme that crossed over into cosmic mysticism that we identified and then named them as saints. So they were in the mega cosmic. They transcended and became souls that belonged to everybody, like Rumi. But nevertheless, they manifested a pattern that shows that at some point, individuals no longer belong to the earth, they belong to God. And that calling, that a person can be called into cosmic service, and that is a mystic, to be called into cosmic service, and then to be broken in two by God, so that you yield to heaven. And in that yielding, the voice that the internal life that you have to form within you becomes so authentic that that is your guidepost from that point on. And then you emerge in the world and you become a force of light, and not for yourself, but on behalf of others. And that you no longer live a life judging your actions by the standard of your ego. This isn't famous enough. This isn't big enough. Because you cannot measure the consequence of your actions. That is what I learned when I wrote Invisible Acts of Power. That is what shattered my soul wide open. That's when I solicited letters from people about service, when I, you know, took a look, a sincere look at why people are drawn to be of service after they go through crises, why they go through a transformation that says, I can no longer live just for myself. I've got to be of service to others in this world. What breaks them through that awful pattern of narcissism that is so epidemic in our culture? Mm-hmm. What breaks them through is that the bottom falls out of their life, and that the path of life they were counting on having, unfolding, being part of the way that they would control their life's journey, inevitably fails them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to rise to a life that their soul wants to dictate.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that so compelling, that I wrote Invisible Acts of Power. And it was during that time that my own interior life began to surface. And I decided that the work of the great mystics had a lot to teach us. In fact, I started to identify that a lot of the crises that we consider to be psychological crises that we drug because we can't tolerate being in pain, but that a lot of pain is good. Pain
mm-hmm.
is very good. That, in fact, certain types of pain should be greeted with, thank God this pain has finally arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for this because it is a signal that says, you hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And do I hear music?
Just a little bit. Is that okay?
Did you want to... take a break?
No, it's just a little background music.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I've never had that happen.
Oh.
But at any rate, what happens at that point when people find themselves drawn to go deeper within
mm-hmm.
themselves, when a crisis... wait a minute, I lost my train of thought because I got caught up in your music. And
oh,
then I'm
sorry.
In a hotel room and the housekeeping just walked in to see if they could clean my room. So I just got very distracted. What were we talking about?
We were talking about internet, but also
and
about these things.
I think I'm in The Hobbit, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting that what you were talking about is how, you know, these things show up in our lives. And I like to refer to those things as breaks. Breaks and like a break in what you just thought was going on. For myself,
oh, right.
It came a couple of years ago.
What I was talking about was how when the difference between a spiritual crisis and a psychological one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, let me just finish that.
Oh,
if,
sure.
If you don't mind, sweetheart. What these... soul crisis, the spiritual crises that we have, we are so accustomed to having that crisis dealt with through tranquilizers
mm-hmm.
or through Prozac or through
counselors,
different ways of sedating us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that, and because we are not accustomed to seeing pain as being a guidepost in a positive way toward a spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not the way we view it. Pain for us is not a positive thing. And yet, it is very much an indicator of, quote, being called in the mystical sense.
Mm.
It's very much an indicator of the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is the dark night because... the kinds of questions people ask, you know, we evolve in stages and in stages with God, in stages that people don't even recognize. Because when, you know, when you first emerge as a young person out of school or out of your home, you have to find a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that way to survive is a job. But a job doesn't give you any power. It just gives you survival.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, that's not going to be enough. You're going to want to be able to influence your surroundings. And so you will emerge and desire a career. And eventually a career won't be enough because you will pause and say, but there's no meaning in what I'm doing. I mean, I may make money, but there's no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll start asking deeper questions like, but what's the meaning and purpose of what I'm doing? And the moment you start asking those more refined questions, you're now drawing your interior to participate in your life. You are inviting your spirit, your soul to come forward. And you're saying, I need to also add the dimension of meaning to what I'm doing in this life. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're inviting a vocation to come forward. You're saying to God, I want to invoke you to come into my life. At this point, you start cracking the ground underneath your feet and creating a shaft of light for divine guidance. But it's also at that point that you start going into the biggest conflicts you'll ever have, because what most people want at that point, and I know this from my years of teaching sacred contracts, is people will start asking for their highest potential. But what they really mean is, what's the best job I can get down here? Because I want to be admired and I want to make a lot of money, but I don't want to work really hard. I need a lot of time off. I don't want to work for anybody. I want my cabin. It's ego stuff, and they don't realize that, in fact, the highest potential of the soul is to begin to battle the very things that make you so frightened in life.
Mm-hmm.
That your highest potential first is to take on what Teresa would call your reptiles.
Mm.
Your reptiles, your interior reptiles, like your absolute terror of being humiliated and how much that controls you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I wrote the Entering the Castle because the great Teresa of Avila, the great, great, great mystic of the 16th century Spain, the Carmelite nun, who had a profoundly famous mystical life. She was actually directed to write about her mystical life, and so she did in a book called The Interior Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I took her work, and I blended it. I did a weave in a contemporary way with what I saw was our personal journey today, took her guidance and blended it with what we need in our contemporary world, her wisdom with who we are today and what we need, because their wisdom, the wisdom of the great mystics, like the wisdom of Rumi, the wisdom of Tagore, the wisdom of all the great teachers, is forever. But how then shall we weave it into what our crises are today, or what the questions are that we have today of what we are and how we need to live our lives in this world today? And you find that we are not any different than they were 400 years ago.
Mm.
The very, very same issues that confronted people in monasteries 400 years ago, jealousy, fear, competitiveness,
mm-hmm.
fear of God, a burning desire to still control people in the world, are no different. They are no different.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no different. The inability to forgive, rage at one's parents, were as authentic then as they are now.
Right.
There is no difference. Absolutely is no difference. But at the same time, there is no difference in that people have a natural need, a burning need, to be near the sacred, to be called, to be of significance with the soul in the world. And that's this desire people have to discover their highest potential is actually a desire to finally stop fearing their own life.
Mm-hmm.
To finally get up in the morning and say to themselves, I don't want to be anyone else but who I am. I don't want to wake up next to anyone else but the person I'm next to or my own self.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have any other life but the life I have, because this is the life I was assigned to. This epidemic, this psychic free radical that the New Age has put into place, that everybody's life is inadequate because they should be doing something great and of meaning, has absolutely contaminated people.
Right.
So, to me, Teresa's work was the vehicle that is opening with meaning, because people have been told that meaning is to be found by getting more things, by using their mind, to just organize their attitudes and get more stuff, more stuff. And if you look at all the books that are bestsellers, it's not working.
Right.
It's simply not working.
Yes.
Because the mind is no tool. It is an undisciplined, inadequate force. It will not heal you. It will not accomplish anything. It is an undisciplined, greedy little, inadequate tool that cannot do a thing. It is, all it does is hold your reptiles. It is your reptile container. And without your soul, nothing can be accomplished. And then all that can be accomplished can be done with, must be done with prayer. So that is entering the castle. And what I love about that is because my work, of course, has to do with what I found so incredible was when I wrote Anatomy of the Spirit years ago, I took a look at the template of the seven and how the seven chakras seem to merge beautifully with the archetypal, the symbolic significance of the seven sacraments and and the seven levels of the Tree of Life. And that's when I realized that the level seven in all traditions, whether it's Islam or Christianity or Judaism, or is the template of ascension that is built into the soul. The soul rises in seven levels of awareness. And that is the journey of illumination. We are illumined in seven stages. So when I looked at how Teresa wrote The Interior Castle, she wrote it as a journey of illumination toward God through prayer in seven stages. She says the soul is a crystal that has seven mansions in it, and every mansion has many rooms. When people say to me, but what's the soul? What's the soul look like? They want a description that makes sense to them, which is like, as I say to people in my workshop, okay, then I want you to imagine that you're deciding to get pregnant, but beforehand you want someone to say, first I want to experience the love of a child before I agree to have a child, because I want to make sure that I really can love this child before I agree to get pregnant and have this child, and then I'll have this child. And what you've just asked at the fertility clinic is quite impossible. Either you experience love of a child or you don't. But you cannot contain it in words. There are no words that can communicate to you the experience of being a mother. It is simply not possible. There is no words, there are no words that can communicate birth. Either you go through it or you don't. I can show you 10,000 movies, and so what? Here's your popcorn, watch birth, does it help? No. No, no, and no. And the same is true of the soul. It is only a force that can be experienced. But once it's experienced, like motherhood, you can never, ever go back. You can never not be a mother. That is all there's to it. You can never, ever, ever not know your soul once you know your soul.
Carolyn, thank you so much. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And my guest this morning, I can hardly speak. I've just fallen into an enchantment here, Caroline, that started last week and continues. But my guest, Carolyn Mace, the author of Entering the Castle, in addition to many other things, just books. I'm sleeping with your books.
I beg your pardon.
I sleep with books anyway. They're all over the place, all over my room. They're like my little companions at night, and I always go to bed with a pile of them. And anyway, Carolyn Mace. And if you'd like more information about Carolyn's work, which is just Anyway, her website is www.mysss.com. Again, www.mysss.com. Carolyn Mace, author of Entering the Castle. Carolyn, I wish we had like so many hours. It's funny because one of my favorite books that I've given away so many of is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And it is about, you know, it's a fictional story of a shepherd, you know, on his path to discover his own personal legend. And when I read this little fictional book, it so resonated with my heart. And yet I wished that there was something. It's like, I love this little story, but where's someone showing us how to do this, how to discover what our personal legend is, that calling on our life? And that's why, for me, I was so excited when I got a hold of your book and of Sacred Contract and of Invisible Acts of Power, because all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, the tools for doing these things, for being in the world as contribution and service, for being in the world, making a difference, actually believing that doing one little thing, you know, maybe it's opening a door for someone, maybe it's a big smile, can actually make a big difference in a person's life that you may never know, and finding your own true calling. I feel like I'm going to burst into stardust, because here are all the tools through your work for people to pick up these tools and find what it is that their soul is longing for. And I mean, that's what I'm so excited about. I'm so excited that when it was time, the universe had your work show up quite by accident, because two books were handed to me at the time that I got your book. And I looked at it and I thought Entering the Castle and Entering an Inner Path to God in Your Soul. And I thought, oh gosh, I've been on so many paths to God. I don't need another ism. But I've also learned that I have to be careful, very careful about telling the universe that I don't need X. And you know, because I caught this word mystic without a monastery, mm-hmm. and I was like drawn in. It was like the universe was saying, come into the dance with just these little catchwords. I'm like, a mystic without a monastery. Could you talk a little bit about the concept of a mystic without a monastery?
Just a little, then I need to scamper to the airport.
Absolutely.
Yes, a mystic out of a monastery is the a lay person today who is called to be an effective person in their life, no matter what their life is. I mean, what is a mystic? A mystic is someone who experiences the nature of God as mm-hmm. opposed to talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they experience an interior life in which they see through their inner world, and they perceive through divinity as opposed to just their rational mind, that they incorporate the whole of themselves with the companionship of their soul. Now, this is not yet a functioning dynamic in people. People have not opened the life to their soul. Spirituality in our society doesn't exist at the soul level. We are a very soulless place in the world because for many reasons that unfortunately we don't have time to talk about. But in a nutshell, it's because we have such an adoration for rational and the reasonable, rational life.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mental concept of God. We talk about consciousness and leading a conscious life, but conscious is not the same as devotion.
Mm-hmm.
It is not prayer. Conscious, we don't talk about, we're very careful how we scoot around words like devotion, prayer. A spiritual life is a life of devotion toward God. It is not a life of consciousness and massage and vegetarianism and health. That's fine to live that way,
mm-hmm.
but don't equate that to your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
That is not. That's a life of a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But do not call that a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a spiritual practice. That is a life of, I want a healthy lifestyle. But
right.
that is not an internal practice of self-reflection, of contemplation, of working toward becoming aware of the process of illumination, building an interior life toward God. It is not. And people are afraid of that because they're terrified that if they go in that direction, they'll be separated from the world, they'll end up celibate and poor. And they do not understand the true journey toward God at all.
Right.
And they're afraid that God will take all their money and their sexuality.
And it's all his money anyway.
Emerging mystic out of a monastery. Mm-mm. Is a person that will be a powerhouse in this society. In the society, not away from the society. And I think it is, I look at someone like Al Gore, to me, that is a functioning mystic out of a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Oprah, she's a functioning mystic out of a monastery. These people are neither poor, nor are they celibate. And they are making a difference. Why? Because they're moving in the through an interior vision that is driving them.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with not benefiting themselves, but they are being driven by a vision greater than themselves. And in order to hold the courage, they are mystics out of monasteries because you have got to be fueled by a force greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a mystic out of a monastery, and I just want to say thank you so much, Carolyn, for being in the world doing what you're doing. I know that for people like yourself, like Oprah and Al Gore, that it does not come without a cost. It means not being able to go into public places without people coming up and wanting to touch you and talk to you and tell you their stories. For all true artists and musicians, I believe that the gift has a cost, and I want to thank you for being willing to do that.
Thank you.
And I just want to thank you so much for being in the world, enriching my life, enriching the lives of so many people by bringing us these tools to discover our true callings and how we can, I just
thank
want to
thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Take care, dear.
And hope to see you soon. Again, Carolyn Mace, author of Entering the Castle. Carolyn, goodbye. Ellen Salalumin Amentielvo, a star shines on the hour of our meeting.